Okay, hi. Tabbing out, and let's just get right to it, because this is the show that we're doing for the sake of doing a show. And I mean that, right? Like, there is nothing to talk about this week. Obviously, first of all, it's just Glenn and Brandon this week. And I will tell you that Aaron is not here because he doesn't want to be here. And he doesn't know that, but like, that's the reason why he's not here. I think anyone, if you had seen the text that we had gotten for the last 24 hours, Aaron thinks he's slick. Aaron thinks he's create a story where we believe that he genuinely wants to do the show, but he just can't. That's the exact opposite of what it is. Aaron doesn't feel like doing the show this week, which we also know because we have the same vibes. Like, there's just no reason. But, you know, we said we would do it, so here's a show. And if that doesn't set the tone for what you're about to get in the next 30 to 45 minutes, I don't know what else can. This is the show for the sake of doing a show, because we say we do the show every week, but my God, is there a big ball of nothing to talk about?
It's almost like the same thing that WWE said this week.
More like, or less.
I mean, not that it wasn't good content, but like, there was nothing to really, like, this is always that tough time. Like, we all know what WrestleMania is going to be, right? This happens every year, no matter whether the booking is good or bad. You always get into this 2-week time where you know what WrestleMania is. They know what WrestleMania is. They know you know what WrestleMania is, and they still have to do 4 shows. And I would argue maybe we've been there for longer than that.
I think this year uniquely, it's felt like it's been in that mode for some time. There were the questions that we kept asking ourselves this year were, would they ever bother to build to the matches that they're doing? And the answer proved to be no, they didn't. And that's fine. Like, it's, again, I'm very much on the island on this one, where I like to have a build to a match, and I like for you to tell a story. And hey, if you're going to end the most significant title reign of the modern era, maybe at some point you should have actually had those people involved in a feud. And for like 5 seconds on Friday, they kind of tried, right? Like, for
right, and then Monday happened.
Right, like, they gave it the effort they put into it certainly would be worthy of winning like a European championship. There's no doubt that they have given that much effort to Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. They didn't do it, you know. I didn't think they were gonna do it. It's not, it is, we're going to get to next week and we're all going to pick Cody Rhodes to win. And when we do, we're going to be required to say there is not a story here that's worthy of Cody Rhodes winning. And if you're not willing to say that, it's because you just don't want to. You've decided, you've premeditated what the outcome needed to be, so you don't want to deal with it or acknowledge it. But they have
We also have to say there's going to be a non-zero chance something else weird happens.
Sure, non-zero. I'll give you that. 100%. It's non-zero. But we're also going to pick it.
Yeah, but we're going to pick it.
When we pick it, it is required to say that absolutely nothing about what's happened is worthy of Cody Rhodes winning this match. Zero. Nothing that they have done in the build to this is worthy of it.
But in a vacuum, it's worthy of him winning a match. Match.
It's worthy of him beating The Rock.
It's worthy of him. But I mean, the story they've told with him over the past year would be worthy of him winning a championship, yes, but not this.
No, not
like, does
this.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Correct.
Like they told this, the correct story with him having hard times and falling down and getting back up. And like, that's the story of a hero winning a title. It's not the story of the ultimate villain's downfall. They have not told that story.
Correct.
And now they're going to do that in the microcosm of 35 minutes inside of the match. I feel they're gonna do some kind of thing, but like, that's too late, you know.
I mean,
like,
I at least
it probably will work by the way. You know,
we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Will it still be a WrestleMania moment? Absolutely. You know, we had the conversation with the Daniel Bryan comparison for Kofi Mania. They will still create a WrestleMania moment. It's a shame that they decided that the moment, if, and we got to keep giving that caveat, if that's what they've decided, that the moment was all that mattered. It didn't really matter to do the work that was necessary to get to the moment. That's a bummer. It would have made for a more enjoyable WrestleMania season for me. Other people would say it was a more enjoyable WrestleMania season just because The Rock was involved. So everything else be damned. I liked having The Rock around. If you're in that camp, you know, everybody gets to enjoy what they get to enjoy. I can't tell you that you shouldn't enjoy your thing. I'm not going to yuck your yum, but for me, I would like for the stories that play out at WrestleMania to be warranted and relevant and the whole thing, and it's just a bummer that it isn't. But at least the one thing, again, that they have done an amazing job of building to is the big championship match of the weekend, Carmelo Hayes versus Trick Williams. At least they've done a wonderful job building up to that moment and Trick winning his title and overcoming. They've done, and they've gone, you know, the extra mile with that one, right? Like with these incredible vignettes, and they've made it movie quality. I am so excited for us finally getting the moment of Trick beating Melo to win the NXT title. I think that's going to be huge.
You're right. I mean, literally the only thing they did wrong in this is not getting the title in there. You know what I mean? Like everything else is perfect. Like you said, like, I know you're being a little glib here, but like everything else is exactly what it should be.
Again, like, if they had just done and this is the problem, because what I'm saying is like the part that mattered 80%, they completely missed. The part that mattered 20%. Oh, they nailed it. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
They nailed it. Everything. They have created, finally, a match that's worthy of a main event championship match in this era of NXT. This is the first one. Like,
yeah.
This is the first one in this era of NXT that they finally created a worthy championship match that everybody wants. They just forgot the part. Like, they woke up one morning and were like, hey, did you guys do the assignment? No, what you did the assignment, right? The group project?
I think they just did the thing where they overthought it. They said, well, this is bigger. Like, we don't need the title because this is such a big blood feud.
Yeah.
That we can just do this and we don't need the belt. And we know, we don't know, but we now know. Like, I think when we were talking about this initially, we didn't 100% know. I feel like they're telling us, even though we don't know, we can say we know based on what we're seeing on TV that they're very hung up with Dragunov here. And there's some kind of something there that they want to do. I don't know if that's Tony D'Angelo or like that would be weirder to me. And then if they just have some Dragunov thing that they want to do, like I can't tell you what that is. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying like we were wondering. And now it's pretty clear that the only reason the title isn't involved in that feud is because of him, not in kayfabe, like outside of kayfabe. I mean, obviously in kayfabe, that's the case, but outside of kayfabe, like there's something like, why can't he not have the belt right now? I don't understand because what you're giving us here is not something that we would have missed if they, you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
I know what you're trying to say. There's something there
with him that we would have missed by him not having the belt. Like, right. you're just doing something for the sake of doing it.
Yeah. It's on every element of it. It's that when you made the decision originally to let him have the belt, it had to be with the plan of, okay, but we all know we're not screwing up WrestleMania, right? Like, we can do this, but we've got a plan, right? And if that was never in place to begin with, then it was unjustifiable to give him the belt. What you couldn't do is say, let's figure it out later, and then put yourself in this position where you've been afraid to figure it out later. And I would double down to say, whatever you feel about Dragunov, and who doesn't like Dragunov? Dragunov is great. Like, he's wonderful. But whatever you feel about him, whatever you think that thing is, there's just that in a million years, it can't justify what you're doing here. Like, there's nothing.
The only thing that can kind of justify it, and it doesn't, right? But it's only like a small asterisk, is the report that we got this week that Carmelo Hayes is immediately on the main roster after this.
That sucks.
I mean, it's great that he's there, but it sucks that they screwed this up because of that.
Right. But it makes a million times more sensical to have given him the belt to drop it at WrestleMania.
Trick is also.
Are they saying both of them?
I mean, you'd have to go back and find that. I briefly read this report from like WrestleVotes or one of those that said that
they expect both to be on the main roster.
Well, as you and I have talked, or as the three of us have talked about before, that still doesn't do anything. Like, you could just have them give up the belt. Like, that's happened. That's okay. It's okay to have Trick. And in fact, it's more infuriating for Trick that he's not going to get it, right? Like, there's an unspoken part of this we haven't covered because I'm not the right person to talk about it, and we are not the right people to talk about it, but we can't pretend like it doesn't exist, which is the history with black performers and the championship, and the championships, the highest championships, is not great for the WWE. So comedically tell everyone this is the match, but not be willing to make it the championship match,
right,
when it's too extraordinarily worthy black performers, is so much worse. And I get it. Like, I really don't want to do that. Oh, it's just identity politics. Save it. Stop. If we can't talk about this like adults, we're hopeless as a society. And I get it. We might be hopeless as a society. Like, I understand that that might be the answer. But, like, if you don't get, if you couldn't watch the emotions of other black performers when Kofi won the belt and tap into understanding the pain that they felt, even in a sport that's not real, which of course it makes it, you know, like, this is not something where our performance has been able to, it's not a meritocracy. That's what I'm trying to say. Right. It's not a meritocracy. So because of that, we've been at the mercy of decisions made by other people, and those decisions have regularly not gone our way. And so in the rare occasions where they have, it's been very meaningful to a large group of people. The optics of this are about as dreadful as I could ever fathom. We are telling you this is the match, but we're not letting it be for the championship. That's brutal. I mean, brutal in a way that I'm not the best person to describe, but I can still see it. I still have eyes. It's not, you should just have a championship match with two black performers because that's, no. It's the entirety. Everyone watching for NXT for the last 12 months has known this is the thing. And frankly, with all due respect to Ilya, who I like, the only thing. Ilya's cool, but there's no thing there. It's just he's cool, right? Like, nothing else. This is the thing, has been the thing. And it's to say, but we're not going to let that be for a championship.
Yeah, it's tough.
Like it would be one thing. I think the only thing that would justify it is if, like, you had Gargano and Ciampa there. Like,
right, something else that,
you know,
was,
what I mean? There's right. literally nothing. Like, they made nothing. Something up. And yep. So, like, if you had built something already, like if Obi Femi, and I'm not even saying it because he's black. I just mean if you had some guy that you were pushing hard that made sense to be in this title picture, you made up the Tony D'Angelo thing out of nowhere.
Like, I mean, we had talked before that before Wesley got hurt, that Wesley was moving towards being right. worthy of, again, not over this, but at least we could say something. Like, at least we could say,
you could say,
hey,
that's a guy they've been pushing for 2 years.
Right.
In a correct. Major way.
Correct.
That it would be arguable. This is undefensible. Like,
yep.
this is insane. Like, and by the way, I like Tony D'Angelo. Like, I'm not,
we all
I don't
do.
Want to come across like we don't like him. Like, we've all talked about, and I think he's actually been doing some really good work in this thrown together shit that they've put out there. I just don't care because I wanted the other thing.
Correct.
And it sucks because we should be happy that Tony D'Angelo is getting a shot. Like, if this was the 2 months ago pay-per-view or whatever, this would have been fine.
Totally fine.
It's just a shame that happened because, you know, like I said, you have exactly what you want here. You have something people are really into. that really care. You've built it properly, and it's just a match.
Yep, that's it. When it's over, it's just over. That's it. That's all there is. Okay, you won. Bye. Everybody go home now. That's it. It's and I know that we've been talking about it for some time, so we're beating a dead horse, but this week with the over the top way, which again, for a championship match would be wonderful. Like, this really is everything that you could ask for in a WrestleMania championship match. I'm not down on the work they're doing for the match. I think it's incredible.
Yeah.
But it unfortunately comes with the, like, kick in the teeth reminder that they're not doing the thing. Like, the thing they're not doing.
Oh. And, like, somebody said to me that, you know, they did this with Ciampa and Gargano. And while that's technically correct, on the other side, you had something else that made sense. You know what I mean? And those guys had the belt before.
Correct.
It's just a completely different thing.
Yes.
Like, and that was like a 4-year story. So, like, Adam Cole defending the belt against somebody isn't as, or whoever it was, isn't as important as a 4-year story. And it would almost be comical to put the belt in there for no reason, considering those current circumstances. We don't have any of that right
Nothing.
Now. Like, you can't compare Nothing. Any of that to this. You can, in a vacuum, say, oh, they did a match without the belt and did all this build. And, like, sure they did, but there's more to it than that. Like, there was other things. So,
well, and again, it's
I'm
about
enjoy the show, you know, but it's just a shame that it could have been a really huge moment. And
right.
It might just be a moment.
And it's more difficult. What you said about those guys having had the belt is really important, because that's the part, like, that's the part in this that's the emptiest. If Trick had already had a championship win, this I'm not as up in arms about this. Like, the problem is, this is supposed to be his culmination moment. Ugh. All right, let's move on. CM Punk's, I guess, not going to be the guest referee in
the
match.
That was a weird bit.
It was weirder because he didn't really say anything. Like, I guess his purpose was to announce, I'm going to be on commentary, which does not require an announcement. And makes it even more naked that, like, we were just trying to steal some ticket sales in Chicago. So we'll make it seem like there's something relevant that CM Punk's going to do. This required nothing. It makes it far more embarrassing that they have forced Drew McIntyre to feud with CM Punk instead of caring about the championship match that he's in at WrestleMania. It wasn't justifiable when CM Punk was going to be the special guest referee, but at least, like, it's not an excuse and it's an explanation. But now it's not even that. It's nothing. Like, this has been the dumbest build in the history, I think, of a WrestleMania championship match. I got nothing. I have.
Will you add to it with throwing them into the other bukkake of shit that's going on with the tag match you're doing?
Right.
You know, now
right.
You have Drew McIntyre talking to Paul Heyman and coming out in the middle of all of that. So it's like, I think some people would say, well, this makes it all this stuff interesting. And I hear that, but it's also not what you should be doing. Like, it's two different things, right? It's like, okay, well, if we're not going to build any of this the correct way, at least make it fun to watch or interesting. I hear that.
Yeah.
Like, you are, but, like, it also doesn't, I can't negotiate it all, like, in my brain. You know what I mean? And, like, if it's just this guy runs out, that guy runs out, and now you've got people running in and out of things, like, I get that it's engaging to watch, but I don't know. These are your two world title matches for WrestleMania. And it's all tied into this tag match on night one. It's almost like somebody heard the criticism and was like, all right, we'll fucking throw Drew in there too then. And it's like, no, it's the other thing. It's not, he's not there. It's Seth, pull Seth out of it. Like, it's not put more people in. Like, I don't know. Excuse me.
No, I got nothing. Anyway.
Yeah, but it's all smoke and mirrors with that promo was really good with the three of them. Like, it was fun to watch. They all had their lines that were, you know, something to ooh and aah about. And it kind of makes most people forget that this doesn't make any sense.
I feel.
Maybe. Not me, but maybe.
But I mean, if you look at, like, what everyone was talking about, it was the CM Punk line, who chose you, Drew? Say his name.
Right.
It was the thing about, you know, you for being straight edge, you're always in rehab. It was all that stuff. And, like, those lines all worked, but, like...
Yes, they worked well for a CM Punk Drew match,
guys.
Right,
we don't have a triple threat match.
They worked great for a CM Punk Drew McIntyre match. That's not
or a triple threat. You
yeah,
know?
Kind of for a triple threat, right?
All three of them were kind of going at each other, but yeah. I don't know.
CM Punk is just watching this match. That's it. He has the exact same role in this match that all of the rest of us do.
What I think that might be, and this is me pure speculation, but I remember hearing some things about people even being at ringside, that they're much more cautious when people aren't medically cleared of even allowing them to be near, like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we've heard that before about, like, I'm trying to remember who it was. It was like, why isn't this person at ringside?
Well, it might be an athletic council situation, yeah, too, in some places. Right. And if that's the case, all good, right? Like, if that's the case, understand. Then don't do all of this crap.
Right. Because they were telegraphing. I mean, we all thought he was the referee. This wasn't, like, a hot take. It was, like, millions of people were assuming that was where we were going. Because why wouldn't you think that?
Yeah, exactly right. Well, that's what it is. Nothing we can do now.
I like Chad Gable being Sami Zayn's coach. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know. They could do worse things. That's all I can say. They could do worse things there. Am I actually interested in it?
Like, are they going to have him on the Rocky steps and doing
all that
stuff?
Right, like, I don't
think... Does it make you think that he's winning anymore than
No, but that's the problem. I don't really want that for this. Like, if Sammy was actually going to beat Gunther, I wouldn't want him doing any of that stuff, right? Like, I don't want... Beating Gunther shouldn't be a comedic bit. I like the idea of doing that stuff, but only if it's definitively because they're not actually letting Sammy win. And considering that...
Or if it's not comedic.
Well, then they can't do any of that stuff. Like, they're not...
You don't think they could do it in a way that's like when they did the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels thing where they did those training... Like, those weren't comedic.
Yeah. I think given that it's Philly and that you'd be leaning into Rocky, I don't...
Although, I doubt they do that because they had Trick do that already, right? Like, they already showed Trick on the Rocky steps.
Oh, they did, yeah, because he did the thing where his uncle lives in...
I don't know. Maybe they make Sammy like a shoot fighter for the next 3 weeks. I guess it's
not 3 weeks. You got 1 week, dude.
Yeah, 1 week.
They got a week.
Yeah, I don't know what you do there, and then it starts to ring the alarm like he's turning on him or something. Like, I don't know. I don't know what any of this is, but I kind of like the idea of it. I just don't know what they're gonna do with it because I don't believe Sammy's winning. So, I don't know.
I don't believe that he's winning either, but maybe. We teeter into the same territory. Can they do enough at this point to justify Sammy being the one? Like, as much as we liked the Sammy, that 3 weeks of Sammy,
yeah,
is it enough uniquely to justify him beating Gunther? The problem isn't Sammy. We all love Sammy. Sammy can do whatever Sammy wants to do. The story should be Gunther.
Right.
Have they done enough?
I agree with you. And also, like, what was that they did? Like when you do that Monday, when you have him essentially lose fair to Bronson Reed, I mean, there's a slight distraction. But, like, if you do that, you shouldn't have him beat Gunther. But I'm worried that that's... like the precursor to him beating Gunther.
Maybe.
Almost as like a extreme, like they want to make him look like an even more of an underdog than he is already.
I'm still struggling with the idea that Sammy's the one to beat Gunther. I would even
I can tell you unequivocally, I do not think he should be the one to beat.
And that's where I'm at. Like, it's the wrong, it's sort of what we talk. There should have been someone rising to beat Gunther. Sammy's not rising.
The only thing I'll say about the Chad Gable thing too, because I think we were talking about that last week. Like, I don't believe that they will capitalize on that after he beats Gunther. So I would also say he's not the one.
And by the way, that's a fairer argument. The difference being there was a story, right? Like the difference being they told
there was a story. Yeah.
A Chad Gable Gunther story, which does not still really exist between. There's a Sammy story. There's not a Sammy Gunther story, but there was a Chad Gable Gunther story. Your point about that it doesn't work because they're not going to use it the way that it should be used when someone beats Gunther, I'll hear you on that. But it worked on the element of the story that had been told. Now, also, in a weird way, that also works as like the culmination of Chad Gable's story. Like, it's not
right, like he could retire after that or something.
Kind of, right? Like this made Chad Gable's career. The problem with it being Sammy is if he wins, it's cool. But as we keep talking about, it's a step down from where we wanted Sammy to be and where we thought Sammy should be. And frankly, where he was flirting with just a year ago.
Yes.
It's not huge for Sammy.
I would say it's huge minus, like, because it's Gunther. If it wasn't Gunther, this would be a big not.
Well, of course, it's
remotely
nothing.
But
what I'm saying, it's weird. We know the non-kayfabe part of it is the part that matters because we think being the one to beat Gunther really is a big deal. The kayfabe part is you just won a championship that you've already won. Like,
well, I would also argue the both kayfabe and non-kayfabe thing is that Sami Zayn should be a world champion.
Correct.
And that's an issue in outside and inside of kayfabe.
I agree on both elements, and this doesn't help you with that. So,
right.
I agree that Sami
the
should
only
not
thing
be.
I would say, and I don't think they're smart enough to do this. But, like, let's say that he's the only one that beats Gunther, right? And then Gunther wins the world title.
You're letting Sammy come back to get his shot against Gunther? Boy, that's the type of long-term booking.
I don't trust them to think of that way. But that I would, in a year, if WrestleMania next year is Gunther or whatever, if there's some big match is Gunther versus Sami Zayn for the world championship, and he's the only one who ever beat Gunther.
Yeah,
that is money to me.
No, that's incredible. It just requires an amount of long-term booking that we have never seen them capable of, like, ever. So I'm very reluctant to believe it, but yeah, it'd be dope. I would even take it a step further.
If he basically beats Gunther, but Chad Gable costs him or something, like, you could still do that. You know what I mean? He doesn't even have to win this match to do that. He could just be the one who had his number. They're not going to. I mean, I would be very shocked if they actually that came to fruition at some point. Is there anything else?
No, I really don't. I really have no interest in anything else WWE related. I feel like we should talk briefly about the Swerve, and I would like to wrap. I'm over. We'll do a big show next week. We'll do as big a show as I have time to do next week for the WrestleMania preview. But
we're gonna have to pick between NXT and WrestleMania. I think like 18 matches.
Something like that. Not as many as there used to be though. Feel like
it's supposed to be seven a day at Mania and then like four at NXT. I think.
We all knew that Swerve was going to be the number one contender. Swerve is the number one contender. They did do a great match. They did do something functionally to add to it. But it's all still kind of flat because it goes back to the problems, which is that Swerve should have been beating Hangman to win the belt. And that it just kind of feels, it's unfair to say empty because it's not empty because it's still Swerve, but it feels like a half a tank, not a full tank of gas moving forward.
Also, it feels empty to me because in wrestling trope logic, I still expect Hangman to come cost him the title.
Yeah, know? I mean, like, that's fair, right? Like, that can't be dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely still there. I it was a weird, like, I got to acknowledge you guys. I watched AEW distractedly as I was also watching basketball and kept waiting for something that demanded my attention and pulled my attention away from watching basketball, and it just never came. I thought the Toni Storm thing, of course, was wonderful, but that's because I think that everything that Toni Storm does is wonderful. This was like when she said tits out, and he was like, I'm not going to say that. That was good
thing. So that's, they screwed that up the last time.
Right.
And just
right.
had him say the stuff. And I brought it up on the show, and you're like, well, he's not going to say that. I'm like, then say that.
Right.
And they did it this time, and it's yep. so much better.
It worked. It 100% worked. And then the watch out for the shoe, and he's like, what does that mean? That part worked. Like, that was all wonderful, and I enjoyed it. But I got to be honest with you, and I know the matches were good because I was watching them. They were good matches kind of throughout the show, but nothing that demanded my attention significantly.
I would say that my personal opinion, and I might be in the vast minority here, they need to pump the brakes on Will Ospreay wrestling for 25 minutes every week. Because I don't think it's going to be special anymore if you continue to do that.
Okay.
Let me just say this. Last week, totally. Do that, right? This week is the kind of match I don't think needs to be 25 minutes. Like, it wasn't your spectacular. Like, it was good. Of course it was good. It was more of a grappling, slower paced, we're making this match 20 minutes versus a match you want to last 20 minutes, if that makes
okay.
any sense.
Okay, no, I understand. But
I think the match he wrestled last week went 20 minutes and you thought it was 10, you know, like that kind of thing. So that's the slice and the pick, but it felt like they were filling time, personally, I thought. And same with these tag matches, like, I we just need to get to the things, right? Get to the things that you're right. trying to do. And man, I'm telling you, I'm already at a place where Mercedes is in the toilet for me.
Dude,
as bad as it was last week, it might have been worse with her on commentary. Like, I don't know if you're paying attention close enough to hear.
I wasn't.
Oh my Lord. Like, if people can't talk, listen, there's a lot of people who shouldn't be on commentary. Like, a lot of them. Commentary is not easy.
Oh, it's, you know, hard. Like, no doubt.
It is a hard job. And when, like, Chris Jericho or MJF or Daddy Magic are on there, there's a freaking reason that they're on there. I don't think just putting someone on there for the sake of getting them on the show, because that's what this was this week. That was the only thing they could think of to get her on the show during that number one contenders match for the TBS title. Man, I got to tell you, I hate saying this, but it was as bad as you've heard from her.
Look, they've got such an uphill climb right now for me with Mercedes that I'm almost, I don't want to say this part out loud, but I am absolutely ready to just start calling her Soraya. Like, I just
know it's very close. Like, it's and I think what makes it, and I'm sure you agree with me, what makes it so much worse is that Toni Storm is on the show.
Correct.
And you see that and you're like, oh, this is,
you're not on this level.
This is the upper echelon. And when I say you're not on this level, like Toni Storm is great. You might disagree with me here, but hear me out. Toni Storm is great. What she's doing is A+ upper echelon. If she was on WWE, there are other people there that can do that. Like, they have people on that show that can be on the show and not look like D minus performers next to that. They might look like B minus or C plus, but they don't look like they shouldn't be on TV next to that. And I think they have not succeeded in finding anybody who can, I mean, we talked about it with Deonna Purrazzo. She started getting booed, like, because she can't hang. Like, nobody on this roster can hang with that. And prove me wrong. You know what I mean? Like, who do they have in the women's division? Maybe even somewhat in the men's division.
Oh, this is the MJF conversation. Like, it really is. It's the same conversation we had that, like, it's so good that it almost becomes a problem. Like, that it almost becomes an issue of you're not capable of doing it. No, I completely understand. I don't think that's the bigger problem when it comes to Mercedes. Like, I think that they are capable.
It just exacerbates the problem.
I hear you. I think the Mercedes problem really is we got Mercedes. We have whatever the Mercedes Monet. What are we doing with her? Well, we'll chant CEO. Okay, what else?
Yeah, the whole plan was she's a star thrower on TV. That was the whole plan.
That's it. It doesn't matter
where's Britt Baker? Why don't you do something with her and Saraya? Like, what are we doing? Yep. You have people there that you could theoretically try to, you know, do something with her against. Even if it's just a rub of, like, seeing them in the same place at the same time, like, I really don't understand. I mean, I do understand why they have to. This is the thing. They have to throw her in the TBS title thing because of Toni Storm. So you do have to say
right to keep her away. Yeah, right. There's a little bit of that, but there's no there isn't a problem with her working with Willow. Like, that's not a problem.
That's fine.
The problem is they didn't think about the result. Like, the result is, and this is what it might be. In their mind, the way they're going to be able to justify that Willow does not come out from this in a worse place is by having Willow beat Julia Hart to win the TBS championship. So that's, in their world, significant. We gave something to Willow that otherwise she might not have had. So now she's got to turn around and kind of do the job for Mercedes afterwards. I still don't like that. I can understand the thought process of here's how we can make all of these pieces work and not hurt anyone. The question is, what else are you doing to Willow? The Willow thing has to be very clear. You cannot alter her character at all.
No, I think it should be the other way. I think there might be a window to fix this. If you have Stokely turn on them and go with Mercedes.
I'm not opposed to it. Not opposed to it.
You fix two problems. He can talk.
Yep.
And you turn her heel, which makes more sense if you're going to put her over.
Yep.
And have her do something shitty so that you want Willow to come avenge that. I think there's something there. Do I trust them to do that and not just want Mercedes to be the A-plus star? I don't know. But, like, there's something there, and, like, the Stokely thing, if they're smart enough to that they're setting that up, I think that would be good, or could be good.
I think it could be excellent. I agree with all of that. I'm all in, and it would drag it out a little while if you don't do the Mercedes Willow match until Memorial Day weekend. Yeah. Then you still get the better part of more than 2 months of.
And by the way, I think they can drag it out because they could do the TBS match at this next pay-per-view. Right?
That's what they're going to do. They're doing Willow and Julia Hart at.
Right. Right.
Shit Dynasty. Right. and then they'll do Willow Mercedes Memorial Day weekend. And that actually got me thinking about how they're going to do this. Like, Swerve can't win at Shit Dynasty. Like, that would be gross and awful.
So that's why I think Hangman
is going to cost. Your point is well taken. Hangman costs, but is that just to do another triple threat then?
I don't know. This is the Dragunov thing. Like, get Samoa Joe out of here.
Like, that really, the issue becomes that it almost requires you to have Hangman cost Swerve at Shedynasty than Joe attempt to be like all right, I want to be done with you. And so I'll face you next week on Dynamite and let Hangman beat Joe for the belt on a effing random Dynamite. Oh, you're right. This is the Ilya problem, isn't it? Like, you just never do anything.
It's like exactly the same thing where they just keep vamping because they don't know how to negotiate both things. And I don't know. I mean, if it ends up with Swerve winning the belt, I think ultimately all will be forgiven to some degree.
I guess.
But I don't want to say that till I see how it all goes down, but
yep.
I think, I don't know.
Now I'm thinking about it more and I just can't, I'm obsessed with it. Like, why can you not just solve this problem? Just get it over with. Get this dude out. All right. I don't want to keep going. All right. Can we be done? Can we wrap? Are we cool? And we'll do our WrestleMania stuff next week.
Yes.
Hey, are we going to WrestleMania?
We are.
Hey.
We're going to Sunday.
So everybody let us know that's going, what your plans are. Yes. I might be able to get out. I don't know that I can take the whole radio show off entirely that day, but like I might be able to duck out at 2, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Otherwise I'm scheduled 12 to 3. I'm hoping I can duck out a little bit.
I'd like to go as early as possible.
I agree with you. I'll tell you more.
But I'm not like, that's fine. Like I'm not, that's fine. That's totally fine.
I'll tell you more off the air. So okay. If you guys are doing stuff like around WrestleMania, tell us, let us know. And maybe we'll come hang before the show starts. All right. So if you got something going on, if you're doing like a tailgate or something like that, tell us, because Brandon and I are going up for night 2 of WrestleMania. We're excited about that because we're going to get the payoff to those wonderful championship stories.
Yes.
All right. Let's get plugs in. Aaron would say something about the Circa. It's a Circa. It's Circas. And you can Circa with it. And you can be there for the basketball events that are happening at the collegiate level. And you could be there also for the selection of football players. Or you could
be
there
for the last few teams to play basketball.
Exactly right. The ending quartet. That's what you could be there for. The Circa at the Aoster on Twitter. Brandon.
Bowling for Soup is coming to Rams Head September
17th.
With Wheatus.
Yeah. Say
friend
it
of the
correctly.
Friend of the program.
Correct.
And don't panic. It's a 20-year anniversary of Bowling for Soup's Hangover You Don't Deserve album, which is, I believe, is the one with 1985 on it. So yeah, they're going to play that whole album all the way through. The tickets are on sale for that one now. We also just announced Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers on July 9th. We also are doing a show with The Used in Story of the Year.
Ooh.
At Power Plant Live, also on July 9th.
Oh, that's cool. A big day. I would still sing along with every word of Taste of Ink to this day. God, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
We announced Queen Herbie on June 8th, which is almost sold out already. That one's going fast. There might even be tickets by the time you hear this. We have a show on sale at the Chesapeake Employers Insurance Arena with A Day to Remember, The Story So Far, 4 Years Strong, and more. That show is on June 25th, and those tickets are at Ticketmaster.com. All the other stuff I just talked about, RamsHeadLive.com. Get your tickets at RamsHeadLive on Instagram and Twitter. And as always, I am at Brandon Linton on Twitter.
I, of course, want to remind everybody about a little music festival that's coming that I just happen to be very excited about at the end of May, the start of June. It's called the Let's Go Music Festival. It's not like French. It's not like Lego, I don't believe. I believe it's the Let's Go Music Festival, starring Our Lady Peace with opening acts like Bush, Daughtry, The Revivalists, Dashboard Confessional, and Taking Back Sunday. It's going to be a time, Jack. You can find out more. Good. Let'sGoFest.com. I'd also, of course, like to plug the new Gary Clark Jr. record. It bangs. It's wonderful. It's everything you'd want in a Gary Clark Jr. record. And I think that's all I need to cover this week. No, at Glenn Clark Radio, glennclarkradio.com, I mean, too.
Definitely listen to the new Beyonce record, too.
I spent the time between when I finished my show today and that doing that. I feel very strong. I think her Blackbird cover is phenomenal. I think it's outstanding. I don't like Post Malone. He's just not my thing. Like, it's
that
not like
song is very good.
I would argue. I know everybody's obsessed with the Miley Cyrus song. I think that one's good. I think the Post Malone song is a 10.5. I think
they're both upper echelon. It would depend on my mood to say which one's better than the other. Because I think one is like a chill. It's very Post Malone-y. Of his like kind of more chill, like Circles kind of songs, Circles not the right word, song. Maybe it's kind of like that Sunflower. It's like that vibe,
which is the song I like the most of his.
Yes. It's that vibe of his, but the Miley song is truly special. Their voices sound incredible together. It's a little more heartfelt. I feel if you have, you know, a friend that you think of that way. Also, that song Yaya blew my freaking mind.
Yeah, it's all over the place. It's quite good.
Journey.
Yeah.
And the Jolene cover.
I like the Jolene. I like the Jolene cover, but not nearly as much as I like the Blackbird cover.
I love the lyric changes in that.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Made me feel like go get them. Go get them.
I will tell you though. Every song that we just named, track 15, Just for Fun, favorite song in the
record. Fantastic.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
I can't say enough. I've got to go through it again. I've only made it through the whole record one time because we were driving today. But what a journey. It's an hour of your time that you'll be glad you spent with music. Yeah.
I'll say this.
And the two new St. Vincent tracks are in.
I have not listened. I will.
Incredible.
I will listen.
Dave Grohl
to those.
Plays drums on both of them.
And what has he ever done?
Yeah, right. You and I will be going to that show at the Anthem if you so choose.
Okay. All right. Well, that'd be cool.
I think they just announced that. I'll go ahead and plug it. They just announced it's St. Vincent at the Anthem on September 15th, I believe.
Okay.
And Yves Tumar is the opener, also a phenomenal artist. Who I did a show with at Echo Stage about a year ago, and it was an incredible show. Let me get that date correct real quick. Hold on. It is September 13th.
Okay.
September 13th at Anthem, right. AnthemDC.com for tickets. TheAnthemDC.com for tickets.
Yeah. Dig it. At AJ Francis 410 for him on all social medias, for Brandon, for Aaron.
By the way, he just signed a contract through 2024. Did you see that?
I did not see that. Wonderful.
It was reported by Fightful Select and retweeted by AJ. So he will be in TNA through the end of the year at minimum. So I mean, good for him.
If they were able to get him, they would be insane to not. I mean, like, my God, correct. He's doing work. Awesome. All right. Yes. All right. At AJ Francis 410 for Brandon, for Aaron, and for the main event.
Ben.
AJ Francis. I'm Glenn Clark. This is Ben jobbing out.
Jumping out.
Aaron, we know. It's okay. We know. We've all been there.
We know.